Scotty's Symphony.
Hello, it's Oliver Morris, your dude. I'm here to talk about Apollo Plus. It's a creator-owned platform where every subscriber helps audio fiction creators such as myself. You can listen ad-free, you can listen to early access, exclusives, behind-the-scenes, supercuts, and more. And there are whole loads of great creators that you would love on there. For Lightning Bottler-specific fans, you can get weather reports, which are sort of talks with collaborators about the projects that we have worked on. And also, you can get Lightning Bolts early and ad-free. So if that's the kind of thing that you're interested in, go subscribe now. Go, quick, come on. I ain't got all day. Lightning Bolts. Episode 2. Villains. Audacity. The intimacy of student accommodation offers a lot to the imagination and proves to be, above many stations, the source of trials and tribulations. As you hear the sounds of sex from the wall to your left, the passionate cries of every breath, and below you hear the couple fighting, angry tones and ragged breath. And they try and get out every word seething. And next to you, they play the Police, or the Beat, or the Jam, or if you're lucky, the Skints. And beyond the moans and the groans and the crying and the fighting, beyond the dancehall, the dub, the reggae, you hear him. Three rooms down. He moves at half a clip. And he breathes when he sleeps. Incomplete, he hiccups for air on every other beat. He shuffles down the hallway, singing songs, laughing, and bleats. And for some reason, this is the last straw. It's not the lovers, the fighters, the stoners, the people who keep you from your sleep. They're not the ones that get your ire. It's that guy with his breathing, his defiance of entropy. He keeps putting off his eternal slumber. But then again, in lighter climes, in student bars with pints in hand, the same guy will look at you and say, "You snore, big O, something rotten." And suddenly you know. Your animosity is equaled. The scales are set and the message is simple. You have to dive across the table and wring the life from his fucking nostrils. Make-believe. Inside the white walls of the white cottage, which was ringed by the white picket fence, a small girl named Betty took white sheets and cut out the image of white Jesus and glued him to a cross made of popsicle sticks. Close acquaintances. John had great big waterproof boots on. Back in the day, I used to wear Crocs, but I found the old's got let the blood soak through, and the blood can really fuck up your socks. Did you know about young Leafblower? The fellow your height who tended the pigs and blew the leaves away in autumn, and in the summer he picked the figs. Well, he and I, young Leafblower that is, we were told of an important job, something small just by the coast that could withstand a mighty storm. No, not the job, it's a metaphor. It's the shack that I speak well of. Sturdy foundations, my dear boy. Nothing that could have blown its top off. So me and Leafy, I called him Leafy sometimes, if he let me, but he was insistent. Leafblower is my name, he'd say, as we headed sideways for Great Yarmouth. Now, this was before your newfangled HUDs. We had to use a pen and paper. The courier gave us a printed Google map. X marks the spot, he told us as he drank his cider. So me and Leafy, we gets to Great Yarmouth, and I tell you now, it's lost its glamour. Just a bunch of boarded up storefronts from those years of Tory power. Anyway, through Yarmouth, me and Leafy go on this moped from his brother up to the cabin on the cliff that could withstand all kinds of weather. "Bloody cold," Leafy said, chattering, the poor lad's teeth was. No problem there for me, because I had my woolly socks and Crocs on. "What's your whining?" I said to Leafy. "All that piss'll do you no good. Find out where the fucking lav is, and I'll order in some food." So I get on the blower, and young Leafy goes for a slash, and I order like 3 pizzas and tell him that I'll pay in cash. Turns out the fella who delivered was a bit of an entrepreneur, so not only did we acquire the pizza, but a bag of whiz and some great green herbs. Leaf Blower, in his search for a bog, had found himself a different stench. In the basement of the cabin, there was in fact a stiller's bench. Oh, the moonshine these lads had made, stronger than a kicking mule, bitterer than love's last kiss, and tasted like your drinking stool. But by fuck did we get wasted, lad. By fuck did we get hammered. By fuck, lad, did we get suzzled and painted the place with vomit after. And we partied many days until all that was left was whiz and thinner. And Leafy looked over at me and said, "Dear chap, what's for dinner?" And I looked at Leafy in a new light. Like, what an handsome little brat. What strong pectoral muscles he had. But with this scintillating fat. And look, call it the drugs or whatever, but it was that point that I knew that young Leaf Blow's steak and kidneys was going to be my next meal. And yay, some conflict did ensue. I did chase him with a broken ball. He cried, he whined and begged and pleaded, didn't stop me from slicing his wattle. And as he bled and cried a lot for his mother and his father, I was like blah, 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 and started to prepare my supper. Steak and kidney pie I made. Ale-soaked rump and chipolatas, braised ribs and bourguignon, all the foods that I was after. And after that, I came straight home. The orgy of eating sucked it out of me, and the violence, of course, the violence, tuckers me out something rotten. Of course, the constabulary couldn't leave well enough alone. They came knocking at my door, and when I say my door, I mean my door, because I was back away from Great Yarmouth and all. Turned out they had found a soggy sock. Turned out it had a toenail clipping. Turned out forensic investigations had me dead to rights at the scene. He, John, stared out over the landscape, rolling hills and setting sun. I was about to ask another question, but turns out John just wasn't done. So, of course, I served my time. And I'm a model citizen now. And what, I asked, do you do for a living? Butcher, he smiled, or maybe scowled. I was out of questions now, and so I paid him tit for tat. Could never get the bugger out my teeth. And that, said John, is that. You've been listening to Lightning Bolts, Episode 2, Villains. All poems written and performed by Oliver Mott.